I got a note here in my Bible. One thing I started doing, and I would encourage you to do this, it really helped me tremendously. If you have a scripture that really speaks to you, and maybe sometime you want to go back to it, you know, like your Bible's got different columns here. You know, there's usually two columns on each page. What I do, the column that's in, if that really dings a bell to me, so to speak, well, I write up there something in reference to that verse. Because a lot of times you get to looking for it and you're trying to look in your concordance and find out where the verse is at. And if you're not using the right word, which most of the time I'm not, I may know the general address of where it's at, so to speak, but you can't find exactly where it's at. And what I do, I write up there at the top. And in the book of Isaiah here, I have written, remember where God brought you from. Isaiah 51, listen to this. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. You know, I was thinking about that. 10 years ago, I wasn't in a good place. We need to remember where we come from, where God has brought us. Where have you been? Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you a year ago? And where are you going to be next year? Amen. You know, I praise the Lord for what God is doing right here in this body of Christ. And that's what it is. It's a body. Each one of us has a job to do. And without each one of us, this body of Christ cannot function. And I encourage you to get involved. Get involved in what's happening here in this body of Christ. We're going to be in the book of Luke this morning, and one scripture in Colossians. Title to the message this morning would be At His Feet. At His Feet. Luke chapter 10 and Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and just give you praise this morning, Lord. Father, thank you for being our Redeemer, our Savior, Lord. Father, for the love that you had for us, Lord. Father, that you continue to have, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Father, that you came and you dwelled among us, God in the flesh, that you died for us, that you rose again. And that you're making an eternal home for us, each one of us, that if we'll just receive it and accept it, Lord. Father, we thank you for that plan. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of blood that was shed for each one of us. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that it would pierce our hearts, Lord. And Father, that we would hear what you have for us. Father, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42 is what we're going to read. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We are called to serve. I think everybody here would agree with that. We are called to serve. And he also made us for himself. Now, let's keep your place in Luke. Let's go to Colossians. He made us for himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, for by him were what? All things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. What? All things were created by him and for him. And he is before what? All things. And by him what? All things consist. Now let's back up. First part of verse 16 says, what things? All things. In the middle part it says, all things were created by him and for him. In verse 17, all things by him and all things consist. We were made for him. He calls us to obey and service. Now back in Luke, if you read that passage of scripture, why did Jesus, he's called us to obedience, right? Supposed to be obedient. So why did he tell Martha to stop working, sit down, and listen? The answer in that question is what the priority that God has for us, for our lives. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to serve him at the expense of knowing him. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to serve him at the expense of our relationship with him. You see, one thing we need to realize here, that he does not make us for usefulness, but for knowing him. Remember what Paul said? Remember the Apostle Paul, what he said? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How about when you make things? When you make something, it's usually for a practical purpose, is it not? It accomplishes something. It's for something. You're making it for some need or for some purpose. It serves a purpose. But how about when you just make something just for the art of making it? Maybe if you're painting. You guys paint, right? Maybe if you're painting a painting, you're making it maybe not necessarily for something to be used, but just for the beauty of it, but just for the sake of art. And some people are very gifted and talented in making things like that. And believe me, when I make something, lots of times it can't even be used, and it sure ain't pretty to look at. But you see my point here? There's a difference. Sometimes we make things that are to be used. Sometimes we make things that we are to look at, and just that something that we created, and that you can look at and say, "Man, I made that. I created that." So when you make something just for to be creative, or just to be, like to paint, to be artistic, We're making it to enjoy it, right? Let me ask you this. I think we can figure this one out. As parents, at this day and age, it may have been different back several years ago, but at this day and age, do we have kids just to have more help around the house? I bet you could ask Kim Morris that right there, and she could answer that real quick. Does she just have them twins just for to have them to help her out? I don't think so. We have kids as parents, not to just have them around the house to help, but we have them so that we can know them and so that we can enjoy them. That's why your parents had you, so they could know you and so they could enjoy you. You realize that? That's why your parents had you, so they could know you, just the person that you are, and they can enjoy you. How about you? Same thing. You. Every one of us here. We may have not been planned. We may have not been a planned birth, but that's the reason our parents had, so that they could know us as individuals and enjoy us. Not to have more help around. You stop and think about this. I can tell this because she's not here. When you, for example, go to my grandson's bedroom, toys everywhere. You might go there the next time and all the toys are in the toy box. Now, when them toys are scattered out all over the place, they didn't have you just to pick up them toys, did they? No, they got you there to enjoy you, to know you, so that they can love you. And it's the same with God. You stop and think about this. What is God? He's an artist. He is a creator. He's a craftsman. He is your heavenly Father, and He wants to enjoy His children. Amen? Think about it. We often view God, our creator, our artist, our craftsman, our heavenly Father, we often view God as what the end result is. In other words, we often view God, what He is, as the way we are. You hear me? Think about it. How many times have we done that in our lives? We look at God in the terms of our obedience and our service, of what's going on in our lives and in our relationship with Him, in obedience and service to Him. That's how we picture what God is for us at that moment. Think about this. In today's culture and time, if you have something that is there that is not useful, what do we normally do? We discard it. We throw it away. We take it to a garage sale. We give it to somebody else. Whatever the case may be, we get rid of it. Now, I always like to ask a question. How does God see you? Think about that. How does God see you as an individual? How does He see you? Is He only after your usefulness? Is He only after your usefulness? He's an artist. He is the creator of this universe. He created each and every one of us. And it tells us there in Colossians that all things were created by Him and for Him. He created us because He wants to enjoy His work. He wants to enjoy a relationship
with you. He will use you. But the first step is that he wants to enjoy your company. Think about it. Now, let's go back in Luke there in chapter 10. I want to point out just a few things out of this scripture. You realize that there's two people in there, correct? There's Martha and Mary, right? And then Jesus, right? Actually, there's a third person in there, and I'm going to point that out here in a minute. Verse 38, it tells us that there's a certain village. That village was Bethany. If you read the rest of the section, and it'll tell you. This certain village is Bethany. And this certain woman gives us her name, Martha. And then verse 39 says she had a sister. Gives us her name, called Mary. Look what she does. She sat at Jesus' feet, and what's the second thing she does? She heard his word. In verse 40, he goes back to Martha. But Martha, Martha had a problem. She was cumbered, or she was distracted. What was she distracted about? Much serving. She was distracted that her sister had, she said, her sister hath left me. You know, every time I always read that, I thought, that sorry, no good, lazy Mary, she never did do nothing. Well, that's not what it reads. When you read it, it says she had left me. So she had done her part. She had helped her and then left. And she was distracted. She says, tell her to help me. Poor old Martha, she was distracted. Look what else it says about her. It says she's, thou art careful and troubled about many things. In other words, she was anxious and she was troubled about many things. See, I think in this story here that she had some problems going on there, that she wasn't just troubled about those things that it lists there. But when you're not at the foot of Jesus, when you not have that relationship that you need to have, you're going to be troubled about lots of other things too. But look what he says in verse 42. He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary, which hath chosen that good part. One thing is needful. In other words, one thing that is necessary. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is important. One thing is the most important. One thing is the best part. And it shall not be taken from her. And that is to be at Jesus' feet. That is to be hearing his word. We've got Jesus, Mary, Martha. Where's the other person in this? They don't actually mention it, but back up verse 38. It says, Martha received him into her house. See, that's a first step in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you have to receive him into your house. It says that our bodies are a temple of God. And when you're born again, you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of you. That's where that other person comes in, because if you haven't received Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, you are the fourth person in this story. And what is God's will for you? His will for you is that you receive him into your house, that you ask him into your heart, and that you make him Lord of your life, and that you sit at his feet.
and that you hear His Word. That you learn about Him and that you love Him. See, that's the most important. You know, if you're going through something in your life right now as a Christian, you don't really know what God wants you to do. And that's what this message tells me and speaks to me, that we need to just sit at the feet of Jesus and concentrate on that relationship with Him and concentrate on His Word and what He has to say to you. Maybe you're that person that's distracted. You're anxious and you're worried and you're troubled about many things. Well, there's an answer, and it's right there. Just sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to what He has for you and receive it. If you're here this morning, you say, "Brother Dennis, I've never received Him into my house." Today you can. All you got to do is sit at the feet of Jesus. All you got to do is receive the Word and receive what the Spirit of God is trying to impress upon you. That you must be born again. That you must receive the Spirit of God into your life. Are you anxious? Are you troubled? Sit at Jesus' feet. Let the peace that only the Spirit of Christ can give you.